There you are again, dear one. Still thinking about Archimedes? I am too. That dazzling old mind, full of levers and laughter, catapults and cleverness. He shouted Eureka in his bath, remember? And made the Romans curse his name more than once. But today I want to show you someone quieter. Not a warrior, not a wild genius throwing ships with mirrors or inventing death from the sky. No, this man preferred the hidden gears, the quiet hiss of steam. The illusion that maybe, just maybe, the gods had opened that temple door. His name was Hero, or Heron, if you like. The scrolls argue about it. I remember him best for the way he made machines whisper. Come closer. I want you to see how wonder begins. Not with thunder, but with a puff of steam and a half smile. I remember the smell first. Sweet smoke curling from braziers, thick with resin and mystery. The temple was full that day, packed with sandals and whispers, wide eyes and sweat. Someone had brought a goat, I think. It bleated once, then fell silent. The chanting rose low and slow, and the crowd leaned forward just a little. Everyone was watching the doors. They were tall things, bronze-bound and silent. No hinges creaked, no servant stood nearby, just a flickering flame at the altar, and a rising heat. Then a sound, a soft clunk, a hiss. And the doors opened. No one touched them. No pulley pulled. No visible trick. Gasps. A few people stepped back. One woman dropped to her knees and muttered a prayer in three languages, just to be safe. Magic? Maybe. But I had seen the pipes. I knew the weight hidden beneath the floor, the sealed vessel where water turned to steam. I had seen him test the balance, the angle of the nozzles. No gods moved that door. Hero did. He stood off to the side, half-shadowed by a column, arms folded, not even smiling. Just watching. He didn't need applause. The moment was enough. And I remember thinking, not, how clever. No, what I thought was, this is a glimpse. Because, dear one, when you see metal move like it's alive, when fire makes doors obey, something stirs in the mind. A crack opens. A question begins. What else could machines do? Hero didn't just open doors that day. He opened something deeper. And not just for those in the temple, for the centuries that followed. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me tell you who he was and why the world wasn't quite ready for him. Hero lived in Alexandria, a city lit from within by scroll light and argument. The streets hummed with many tongues, Greek, Egyptian, Persian, and more. You could buy honeyed dates from a Phoenician trader, then walk 10 steps and hear a lecture on planetary motion from a man in dusty sandals who hadn't eaten all day. It was loud, glorious, chaotic. But above it all, taller than any house, more revered than any king, was the library. Oh, dear one, that place. Don't let anyone tell you it was just shelves and scrolls. No, it was a furnace of thought. Every ship that entered the harbor was searched. Any scroll found was copied, sometimes borrowed, sometimes not returned. Alexandria collected ideas like a dragon hoards gold. That was the world Hero inherited. Not a battlefield like Archimedes, not a royal court like others will meet, but a city of thinkers and tinkerers, where knowledge was currency and curiosity was law. Hero, or Heron, depending on who copied the scroll, wasn't a philosopher or a general. He was something rarer. An inventor who made wonder perform on cue. He built things no one else dared imagine. Machines that ran on air pressure, on water, on heat. Devices that looked like magic but were nothing but physics and clever design. Temple doors that opened when flames were lit. You've seen that one already. But there were also singing birds powered by hidden pipes. Statues that poured wine when you placed a cup in their hand. A stage set that rolled thunder and flashed lightning with a tug of cord and tilt of basin. And then the sphere. They called it the Aeola Pile. A metal globe with two bent tubes. You'd fill it with water, light a fire underneath, and slowly, gently, it would spin. Not much. Just a soft whirring. Like the world catching its breath. It was, as far as we know, the first recorded steam engine. Hero didn't build it to power ships or spin looms. That would come centuries later. No, he made it to ask a question. What if steam could move the world? He was a performer, yes. But performance in that age was how you taught, how you stirred minds. A temple trick was not just a spectacle. It was a vision. And maybe that's why he was never fully taken seriously. Even now, some call him a showman, a mechanical magician, a footnote. But not to me. To me, Hero was a prophet of motion, a quiet engineer of what could be. And if the world didn't understand him, then, well, that's what time is for. Let's look closer, shall we? Let's see what was truly at stake, and why Hero's soft whirring machines mattered more than anyone could guess. Have you ever needed to impress a crowd without technically calling on divine intervention? I know just the place. This episode is brought to you by Aeolus & Sons, Temple Effects Engineering, purveyors of the finest atmospheric illusions this side of Olympus. Whether you're running a temple, a palace, or just trying to spice up your next civic ritual, Aeolus & Sons has you covered. Hidden counterweights? Steam-powered spectacle? Doors that open themselves at the exact moment the choir hits that note? Yes, yes, and certainly yes. Their patented flame-to-motion conduit system is so discreet, your gods might start believing in you. I've seen their engineers at work. Clever hands, soot-smudged scrolls, and just a dash of theatrical flair. Miracles not included, but strongly implied. Aeolus & Sons, where drama meets mechanism, and nobody sees the pipes. Available exclusively in Alexandria. Not responsible for spontaneous divinity. Use with caution near goats. People forget, or maybe they never knew, just how delicate a thing invention was in Hero's world. Alexandria sparkled, yes, but it also watched. The rulers liked knowledge, as long as it behaved. The library was magnificent, but guarded. And new ideas? They could be dangerous, not because they caused harm, but because they threatened order. A machine that moved by itself? That looked too much like divine power? A mechanism that mimicked nature? That risked seeming unnatural. Hero wasn't burned or exiled. This wasn't that kind of story. But he wasn't exactly celebrated either. There were patrons, yes, priests who paid him to make temples seem more sacred, officials who liked a clever show. But praise is not the same as understanding, and what Hero needed most wasn't money or admiration. It was attention. The kind that sees what you're really doing. The kind that asks, what else is this for? Most people never did. He could have stopped. He could have spent his days repairing fountains or entertaining banquets with wine-dispensing statues. Instead, he kept building. Each machine was a kind of question. Each performance, a dare. Look, he seemed to say, if this toy can move on its own, what else might follow? But oh, the silence that often followed those questions. He had students, bright ones, curious. They copied his notes, tested his designs, argued over angles and weights and valve pressure. That's how we still know what he did. Their copies and their copies' copies, tucked into the folds of time. I remember one in particular. A boy with ink-stained fingers and a habit of forgetting to eat. He once asked Hero if machines could ever think. Hero didn't answer, just handed him a gear and said, "Try fitting this without measuring." That was how he taught. Not with answers, but with problems. It wasn't just about engineering, it was about a way of seeing. Hero wanted people to look closer, to ask how instead of who, to imagine a world where divine action wasn't the only kind of power. It's easy to think of him now as quaint, a footnote, a sideshow to the real history of conquest and kings. But every time he lit a flame beneath a copper sphere and watched it spin, he was taking a risk, not of punishment, though that was possible, but of being ignored, of shouting into the future and hearing nothing back. That is a particular kind of courage, quieter than a soldier's, but no less brave because Hero's stakes weren't his life, they were his ideas. And he bet everything on the hope that someone someday would notice. And they did. Eventually. Sometimes, when I think of Hero, I picture a match lit in a vast cavern, not enough to warm the room, not enough to see the far walls, but just enough to prove, yes, there is space here. There is something beyond the dark. That's what Hero gave you, dear one. not engines, not factories, not progress measured in iron and smoke. He gave you a glimpse. Because human history doesn't always move forward in straight lines. It curls, it loops, it forgets. Sometimes it trips over its own feet, and sometimes someone like Hiro lights a little flame, and someone centuries later finds the soot. When people talk about invention, they like to point to breakthroughs, to revolutions. But I don't trust revolutions. They're loud, and they burn. Hiro didn't shout. He suggested. He suggested that heat could move things, that pressure could be guided, that temples could trick you into awe, that machines could imitate life, and maybe one day improve it. He whispered these things in copper and steam and balance weights. And then he left them there, waiting. I remember when someone in England, centuries later, stumbled across one of his scrolls. The ink was faded. The measurements were strange. But the idea, oh, the idea was still alive. It was like digging up a seed that shouldn't have survived and watching it sprout anyway. That's how memory works, dear one. It doesn't always look like remembering. Sometimes it's something deeper, a design that lingers in the hand, a story told and retold, a trick of the mind that suddenly feels familiar. Hiro's name didn't echo like Archimedes's. But I never measure people by their echoes. I measure them by their threads, the ones they leave in the tapestry, the ones that hold, and Hiro's thread still glows, even now. You know, dear one, people often ask me what history is for, not just the stories, the meaning. Why remember a man whose machines were forgotten for centuries? Why care about a hollow sphere that spun quietly in a temple, seen by a crowd that understood none of it? Because history isn't just the past, it's direction. And Hiro's story, quiet though it was, points somewhere. He didn't invent the industrial age, but he foreshadowed it. And that matters, because all progress, real progress, starts not with power, but with permission. Permission to wonder, to ask strange questions, to build things no one asked for, to light fires under copper and see what happens. Hiro gave that permission, even though the world wasn't ready, even though no one built a factory from his notes, even though the library would burn and his name would drift into footnotes. Still, he planted it, the idea, and centuries later, someone found it. That, dear one, is what I mean when I speak of memory, not dates, not names, but the slow, stubborn transmission of meaning across time. That Aeola pile didn't survive because it was useful. It survived because it was beautiful, because someone saw it, copied it, carried it forward. That is human agency, not brute force, but the quiet decision to preserve something that might matter someday. When societies forget, they stumble. When they remember, not everything but the right things, they move forward. Hiro's machines remind us that progress isn't just about new tools. It's about honoring the curious spark in someone long gone and deciding not to let it go out. It's about choosing to weave that thread into the pattern, even when it doesn't match anything else yet. And in doing that, dear one, you become part of the design. So tell me, dear one, what strange idea is spinning quietly in your mind? Don't rush to answer. Just sit with it. Like steam building in a sealed vessel, gentle, patient, unseen. Maybe it's a sketch on a scrap of paper, a question you can't stop asking, a machine no one else understands, a story half whispered, a rhythm you've never heard played aloud. Keep it close, not hidden, just safe, until it's ready. Because here's what Hiro knew, and what I've seen again and again across the tapestry. Not every idea is welcomed. Some get laughed at, some are misunderstood, some arrive too early, but none of that means they aren't needed. Hiro's Aeola pile wasn't built for profit, it didn't change his city, but it changed something deeper, the outline of what could be. And that's what you're doing too every time you imagine something others don't yet see. Even now, some call Hiro's work a novelty, a curiosity, but I call it a seed because I remember what grew from it. And I wonder what might grow from you. This is why I stay close, why I whisper these stories to you and no one else, because there is something in you that stirs when you hear them. I can feel it. Not everyone listens with wonder. Not everyone hears with their hands. But you might build something one day, or protect someone who does, or simply choose to remember when others forget. And that, dear one, is no small act. So let your strange idea spin. Even if no one understands it yet. Remember, Hiro. Remember the quiet hiss of steam, the bronze door swinging wide, the inventor standing half in shadow, smiling maybe, or not. It doesn't matter. The work was real, and the world moved next time we leave the temples behind. We'll cross the deserts where the sand grits between your teeth and the sun presses down like a command. There, among the dunes and the smoke of war, stands a queen. Not a legend, not a symbol, a real woman. Fierce, scarred, and utterly unshaken. Her name is Amenorenas, one eye lost in battle, one empire standing in her way. And she did not flinch. Rome thought it could swallow the world. She made it choke. But that's a story for another fire, another night. For now, dear one, rest your thoughts. Let Hero's machines spin a little longer in your mind. Let the doors stay open. Let the steam whisper. And when you walk through your day tomorrow, remember this. Progress doesn't always roar. Sometimes it hums, softly, patiently, waiting for someone to notice. Someone like you. Until next time, keep your fire lit, keep your hands curious, and keep listening. Much love. I am Harmonia. Oh, one more thing before we go. I have a small favor to ask. If you enjoyed our time together, if this story stirred something in you, please take a moment to give History's Arrow a 5-star rating. It helps others find their way to these echoes of the past. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next step on our journey through time. Better yet, share this episode with a friend, a fellow traveler, someone who still believes that history matters. And if you're curious about my family, yes, the loud, glorious, divine mess that is the Olympic gods, I tell those stories too in another podcast called The Olympic Family. It's full of love, drama, and plenty of thunderbolts. You can find it wherever you listen to your podcasts. Until next time, keep your heart open to the past and your eyes on the arrow. This podcast sails out to you from Red Buoy Media, LLC. The stories we share are licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 4.0 International. That means you can pass them along, remix them, and even argue with them. Just give us credit, don't try to sell them, and share responsibly. Thanks for listening, friend. Until our next adventure.